This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. When I sit at my desk, I can see much of the valley, but not all of it. I often can see the alpacas, usually the girls, as they gradually move around the circuit of their preferred grazing. It depends on the weather, where the wind's coming from, and on what they fancy today. If you have alpacas, do you wonder where they are and what they're doing? Or is it just me that obsesses about that? It's a little like touching my pocket to check my phone's still there, or reaching into my coat pocket to be sure my gloves are present. We have two rules in our valley. Always carry a phone, because you can take pictures with it, and always carry gloves, or know where you can find some close by. So we have gloves left in the various field shelters where the food is. Alpacas have been a significant part of our lives here since they first arrived in the spring of 2008. Those were five pregnant females. That was our foundation herd. They stood in the middle of the field looking in different directions and wondered where they were and what they were doing here. And we looked at them and hoped we could do our best for them. I remember the tension. It felt like a little knot in the stomach when I went down to the stable on the first morning after they arrived, hoping that they were still going to be there, hoping that they hadn't escaped, and hoping that nothing had happened to them. Nothing had, and they were there. They were all there and looked like they were settling in and making themselves at home. It does take a while. There are many firsts. And there are many doubts and asking yourself if you're doing it right. Of course, again, that just might be me. Perhaps you don't worry about those things. I spent a lot of time noticing things and thinking, is that normal? I think that's probably where my first obsession of understanding what's normal developed. Oh, dear. It doesn't take too long to start adding data and experience of, yes, this is normal. This is typical of alpacas. And in particular, this is typical of Lalana, for example, the de facto leader of our little group of five. Hermione, who was there and who I regularly mention, was there and cemented her place as a significant lieutenant in the group and a delight to have around. Early days. So many firsts, so many new experiences. So many opportunities to make mistakes. But that is how we learn. They're not often disasters. They're usually a bit inconvenient or leave you wondering what you would have done better. What would have been a better way of doing that? How can I do it differently next time? Why did I do that? It's the way we learn as we start. And in fact, it's this way we still learn. There are many days of water under the bridge by now for us. Experience and confidence does grow. It becomes a thing. You understand what's going on. You understand more of what you're doing. And then we move on to new challenges and new edges of confidence and competence. This is all normal. And to be both recognized and embraced. It's how we learn. It's how we grow. It's how we become better at being alpaca shepherds. But it does take time. So be patient with yourself and keep reaching. Keep living on the edge. It's a stressful place at times. But there are new things to move into, new things to try and to experiment, to experience. Now, some of those are going to be failures. Failure is a big word. Some of those are not going to be successes. Is that any better? I'm not sure that's any better. But some things just don't work quite as well. You usually get by enough. And then there's a thing that you file away. Right, next time, I'm going to do that differently. Next time, I'll have somebody with me. Next time, I'll make sure I close the gate. Next time, I won't stand in front of her nose to nose. It's always helpful to know which are the ones that kick, which are the ones that spit, which are the ones that you're going to have trouble with and need to keep your eye on, and which are the ones that are quiet and docile most of the time. So it takes time to grow experience. It's obvious, really, isn't it? But we can be intentional about it, and I've mentioned this before, that we can actually have a program of learning and of developing our skills as alpaca shepherds. It's good to think and to plan. It's good to try things. It's good to talk to other people and see what they do, see how they do, and see if there are things that we can add into what we do. The equipment you need is fairly basic. The biggest, most significant piece of equipment that we bought, and they're still going strong, mostly strong anyway, a few little lugs missing, is the hurdles. Alpaca-sized, so they're taller. I got some 6-foot and some 8-foot and bought a set of, I think it was 10 of each. And they've been so, so invaluable for making little runways, for making little catch pens, for making things that will help keep the alpacas secure and in a place where they are comfortable. I know that they can't get out. They know that they can't get out. And everybody can relax a bit. So hurdles, it's such a valuable, even if you just have 4, don't need 10, unless you need 10, but 4 to make a catch pen is so useful. So if you haven't experimented, haven't looked into and invested in alpaca hurdles, then it's definitely something I would recommend. And the other essential tool for me is what used to be called a halter helper, now handling helper, from Camelid Dynamics. And it's such a valuable short strap with an easy click link that you can put around the neck. You have to adjust the size depending on how much fleece there is and on the animal. But it's worth getting used to knowing how to quickly do that, quickly make the adjustments, and being able to put a halter helper on them. And then if you're in a catch pen, then you can let them go. They're not going to go anywhere, apart from a little bit further away from you. Let them relax. Let them get adapted to the fact they've got something around their neck. But it gives you that security, that place to take hold of them without having to grab them. I find them to be such a useful addition. We use them all the time. If there's anything we need to do, an animal we need to stand and check over, there's an animal that we need to do something with, then we'll put that on. And ideally then, depending on what you're doing, if you need 2 people, then somebody can hold that and keep the animal steady. And then the person can then do the checking the toenails. Or why do we obsess about toenails? You know, I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking about toenails and thinking, what is it about toenails that we feel is such a big thing? I mean, it is quite a big thing. It's quite difficult when you're new to alpacas to feel confident enough to step in and take hold of a foot and lift it and check the toenails and then actually trim the toenails. There's a lovely video clip which I will share in the episode notes. So that's alpacatribe.com. If you go, you'll see that's the latest post there. We'll have the episode here, the audio, etc., but and the episode notes, but also a link then will show the video of how to trim toenails. And that's just useful to know. It's difficult to do by audio only on the podcast, so I won't try and describe to you, but it's one of those things that you need to do a number of, in fact, quite a lot of, to get enough confidence. But we don't need to do them all the time or that regularly. Enough, but not that regularly. So it's one of those skills that takes a bit of time to get under your belt. So don't worry about that. It is something to do, but it isn't something that's major, major. So I've just retreated into the house to get away from the rain. This is autumn rain. This is cold, wet, heavy. It didn't feel like summer rain at all. We've definitely had a shift in the weather. Now, good news is that it's going to be shifting back again in a few days, but we're on the cusp of, we're on the edge of the new season. And do you know, I'm still waiting for spring to arrive. I see these things coming. I see signs of, and I forget to kind of finalize the view and say, yo, no, spring is here now. And then we went through summer and we were kind of still waiting for summer to arrive. Didn't behave itself like it normally does. And now we're into the next bit, the fall or the autumn. Some definite changes in color of leaves on trees. Some are falling, particularly when it's windy. And there's an interesting mix of things going on in the garden, I noticed, around the house. There's a whole bunch of things, some of which are tail end. So the flower has finished and they're kind of drying up and browning and falling off. So particularly the hydrangeas. I'll put a picture of that on the episode notes as well. And there are other things which are kind of, I thought you were a spring flowering thing, but no, you're here. Your new flower's just opened. There you go. We've got some new things just about to emerge, the flowers. They don't look like flowers. They look like, I don't know what they look like. What do they look like? Look a bit like broccoli or something. Little branches and lots of little stubby bits, which haven't opened yet, you see. But this is actually the flowers of the ivy. And I usually don't see the flower up. They're not very pretty flowers. They're not very significant flowers in that sense. You wouldn't kind of say, oh, they're amazing. The thing that catches your attention is the smell. And there's a particular bit where it's all higher in a tree. And we walk the path underneath it. And then at the time when all the flowers open, you get this incredible, heady, lovely, kind of sweet come something aroma that comes from these particular flowers. It's fascinating. It's the smell that catches your attention with that one. And we've got other bits and pieces. We've got some hazel. So we've got hazelnuts or cob nuts. And another bits and pieces that are kind of the fruiting side of things. We also have fuchsias. The fuchsias that are, some of them look like ballerinas. Yeah. I'll show you the picture. And the fuchsias also end up in the hedgerows. And it's interesting, North Wales, going over right at the top, Anglesey, and there you can catch a ferry there and go over to Ireland. And in the hedgerows on both sides of the Irish Sea, you get all these fuchsias growing in the hedgerows. Quite amazing. It's obviously the same kind of soil and geology and climate that means that they favour these particular flowers in the hedgerows. Really lovely to see the red flowers. So, yeah, it's an interesting mix of things in the garden at the moment. The girls are enjoying getting out, having a wander, as are the boys. Regularly see them down the far end, and then they're back, and then they do their little wanderings of up and down the valley as well. It's a good time of year. I like this time of year. But then, I always like whatever time of year it is. Any time is good. But I particularly like the autumn, the fall. And it's moving to the point where, do you need another layer? Do you need a coat? Do you need to make sure that you've left waterproof in the stable? So if you get caught by the rain, there is one there. You have to remember that you've done that, which I did, and then I forgot, and I got stuck, and I didn't need to be stuck. So, adjustments. All the time there's adjusting to, is it wet? Is it dry? Is it windy? Is it sunny? Is there good grazing? Do we need to supplement the food? Never ending. The things that you need to consider. And where are your alpacas? Can you see them? Do you know where they are? Do you know what they're doing? You need to relax about that. But at the same time, you're allowed to be interested and to keep an eye on them, which I like to do. So keep learning, keep noticing, keep getting more experience and experimenting. find out what works for you in your setting, where the gates are going to best be placed. Think about hurdles if you haven't got any. And there was handling helper straps. Again, I'll put a link in the episode notes for you for that. And if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas or somebody else's alpacas. Don't mind. You can do that. You can go and see somebody else's alpacas if you haven't got your own or if you want to change. Mind you, you got to be careful when you go and visit other people. You got to be careful of barn envy. I think my stable is so small. This is so lovely. But there you go. Enjoy whatever the weather brings to you. Enjoy whatever season you're in and enjoy being around your alpacas. Take care. See you again soon. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.